Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Caper Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Robert Molteri. We're here to break down Nightwolf issue 7 and everything in between. Robert, welcome back to the stream. How have you been since the last time you've been on the show, man?
Good, I can't complain, you know, just keeping the projects moving along and, you know, just been busy with work, family, and comics.
Hey, and I don't think there's anything better than that, right? I mean, you got your family, you got your comics, and then, you know, work can be work, but you got to pay the bills. Last time we had you on was for episode, I want to say it was 282. This is 361. We just broke 360. You know, how did that campaign go for you? Last time we were talking about plushies, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. So the plushie went very well. So we got those in and the check out to the company who's manufacturing them. Last update I got is that they should be arriving by June. So once they get in and we'll be fulfilling that campaign alongside the issue 7 campaign that we're currently running now.
That's so cool. I mean, that sounds like a lot of work too. 500 plushies. What goes into storing that amount? That seems like just the whole room's going to be dedicated to it.
That's just it. Like, you know, comics lay flat and they're in boxes, right? You know, you can see some of them behind me. These plushies, I mean, I saw a pile, like the picture they sent me, it was like a huge pile. And I'm like, oh boy. So I have invested in a storage unit where I'm keeping most of my comic stock. Now I'm going to have to clean out a section to just pile on plushie boxes.
No, that is awesome. So for anyone who is tuning in for the first time, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about who you are. I mean, you've overcame a lot through the usage of comics. If I'm not mistaken, you struggled with ADD and dyslexia as well. Let's touch base upon that as, you know, a little bit, because that could be a big hindrance to writing, right? That is like, you know, sometimes if you can't get through that, you don't become a writer. Like, so how did you use comics to get through that?
Yeah, so, I mean, this really goes back to when I first started learning how to read. And this was, like, first grade. I was struggling. My grades were failing. So my mom, you know, took me to a specialist to get, you know, and I got diagnosed with attention deficit disorder and ADD and, you know, dyslexia. So all that was, you know, basically, okay, well, let's see what we can do to get him to you know, learn to read, try harder, you know. So one of the first things that my mom noticed is like I had gotten a Batman Untold Tales comic book series. Like it was a 3-set with cassette tapes. And back, you know, for those kids out there who don't know what cassette tapes are, that's what we used to listen to music on back in the 80s.
Think mini VHS tapes. And if you don't know that exactly. Is, get out of the chat.
Yeah, and you needed a pencil to rewind it if the tape came out.
You put tape over the corners. You're like, I remember that. If you're like, okay, I like this song, I'm going to record the song. So you put tapes over it, the notches at the top to record over the song that was on it. Yeah. Burnt CDs before burnt CD.
Right. Yeah, exactly, man. You used to make mixtapes all the time back in the day. But yeah, so the voice actors talking the word bubbles and all that stuff, like, kind of helped me to, you know, follow along the story. And then, like, once I kind of got familiar with the words and the context with the images, my mom kind of saw that, okay, well, this seems to be working. So part of like to try and get my grades up and be, you know, my behavior to be good. She would get me 3 comic books a week, which back then were like, you know, $1, $1.50, and, you know, so that was like nothing to her. So she, you know, would continue to give me the comics as long as I was good and I would continue trying to read them. And, you know, it was a nice trick that helped me because it wasn't like taking big paragraph chunks, you know, like and trying to figure out what those words were. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that basically helped me overcome my reading disability. And then from there, just, you know, I was into comics and kept collecting and getting more and more. And that's really what kind of got me down the path of being a creator, because I, you know, love being in the comics. I love, you know, feeling like getting into those epic stories, and even like playing video games and watching movies and TV series when they were epic. I felt like I wanted to do something creative. Mm-hmm. Like that. And that's, you know, because of my love of comics, that was my way to kind of, that's how I wanted to express myself. And that's, you know, where I started me down that path.
Your mom is a hero, man. We were talking backstage, and I kind of had a similar approach with things. Both my children, they were diagnosed with autism, And we, you know, we struggled with getting them to talk in the beginning. They were verbally delayed. And I used, you know, we taught sign language at first, and I would use M&Ms, you know, so we would do more, and then they would sign more, and I'd give them an M&M, and then I would be like, more, you know, more, and then they would say it, M&M. Yeah. Eventually, we had to stop, because, you know, M&Ms are, they got too good, they just wanted that candy. Eventually, so, you know, we were talking backstage, too, I transitioned to, well, like, books, you know, reading is such a powerful tool, like, and it's, you know, as a kid, you think about it, you're like, I don't want to read a book. But like as a grown up, you realize like this has such powerful, you know, it can really change. And, you know, I would use that, you know, when they wanted to play games or what, maybe stay up and watch a movie a little bit longer. OK, well, you need to read a book. And like just doing that over the months, just the way they talk, the way they structure their wording, just the words they knew, like it's remarkable. Comic books, though, is a whole different level. Like even though it's less pages, the word and the dialogues are often a higher level than like, you know, like, so you were probably reading at like a much higher grade level than people in your class. That's awesome.
Was a lot higher for sure. Like speed reading was not my thing. So, you know, whenever you got into that, I was done.
And nothing's wrong with a couple people getting punched, right? It's like that just adds to the reading, you know.
I mean, you're watching the same stuff in cartoons, you know, mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I grew up watching Thundercats, Transformers, He-Man. Like it's the same stuff that I was, you know, getting into like whenever I was reading a comic book. So it's not bad.
So, you know, reading is one thing, but like, what goes into the writing aspect of it? I mean, do you still struggle with that? You know, to this day with like writing, or you know, how'd you overcome that side of things?
Well, so let's just say that my spelling is atrocious, and my grammar is not perfect. So that's, my wife is my, is basically my dyslexic translator before we hand it off to, our actual editor. Mm-hmm. you know, there's times where like I'm writing emails and she'll proof my emails for the most part, unless she doesn't have time. And if you can tell though, when she's proofed an email, when she hasn't,
so like, is there two different people at the computer right now?
it's like, oh my God, what did this guy do? Yeah. So it's you know, for me, like the story gets across, it just needs like some, you know, fine tuning as far as other people being able to read it.
No, I think a remarkable story. And outside of that, a remarkable person too. I had a chance to look at your Kickstarter and 647 campaigns backed. I mean, you've only created what, 7-8 comics? Like how many comics have, like the amount of comics you created to the amount of comics you've backed is just, that is such a huge difference, man. That's
been a big part
of this community. It's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So I've had 10 Kickstarters. Well, this is my 10th now, that is funded and hopefully, will stay that way. but yeah, so I feel like the community, you know, I want to share, I want to back as many as I can. I can't back them all. I would love to. But I do, you know, I share out as much as possible. I feel mm-hmm. like, you know, like you just, that we all need to help each other. Because we're not DC, we're not Marvel, you know, and we're usually by ourselves, you know, with hired artists, or, you know, whatever the case is. So, like, I feel like, you know, I try to be as good as a part of a community and sharing things out as much as I can. And hopefully they feel the same way and try and help share mine out as well.
So what do you think the importance of that for anyone who's maybe just listening and kind of new to like backing and the idea of backing campaigns on Kickstarter? It's like, what's the importance of making sure you're out there trying to support the community as much as possible?
Well, you know, there's a big part of it as far as like, if you're out there and you're by yourself, then like you have no one to, like, so it's partly networking, partly being able to talk to a community and be a part of a community. And if you're having problems and you're by yourself, who are you going to go to and ask questions or get it off your chest? I mean, it being a part of a community like of like-minded individuals who know your struggle as a creator, like it's a huge thing. And then, you know, being able to support each other and help each other out and then read each other's books too. It's also like we can inspire each other in general, like, you know, saying, oh, that's amazing. I wish I could do something like that. Oh, you know what? I'm going to try harder, you know? or even if, like, you know, when you're having like the problems and you're like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And then other creators are like, oh, this is how we handled it, you know, and just, it's just great to be a part of something and everybody kind of, you know, help you along the way and vice versa. And for newbies coming in, you know, looking up to the people who've been there for a while and then the people who've been there for a while helping out the newbies. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's the best way to go about things instead of doing things by yourself. I don't know, like, how anybody can do, you know, for me, like, I'm Lone Wolf Comics because I'm self-publishing, but I have a wolf pack. My audience comes along, but I also have a community of creators that I talk to regularly in Facebook messaging groups. I'm also part of a monthly mastermind group that we get together and we do, you know, like panel kind of like not recorded ones, but like, you know, we just, it's kind of like a meeting to talk. It's kind of like AA for comic writers or artists.
Like where you guys just get to sit back and unwind a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we were like, oh man, I'm having this problem with this, how, you know, and then we just kind of work through it or, you know, we share our wins. We share what's going on in our daily lives. You know, it's kind of like just friends getting together and just, you know, chatting for, you know, for a good couple hours.
You know, comics is there's a barrier there. My aunt, she watched my interview yesterday. It was one of the most wholesome moments I ever had. I seen her like something on YouTube, or she subscribed to my YouTube, left a comment. I was like, okay, she's just being family. And then she watched, and then she called me immediately after, and she's like, I loved your interviewing. She's like, where do I begin? How do I get into comics? I'm like, wow, like just blown away. Yeah, and it just really got me thinking, you know, and that's just like on a higher level for like Marvel and DC. For indie, it's like, you guys are fighting, you know, tooth and nail to get your book seen by a larger audience, by the public. Like, why do you guys think that is? Like, why do you think there is that, you know, people just have a hard time getting into indie, you know, because you guys have, the story there is just remarkable what you guys are able to offer.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is like, it's easy to get into indie comics because we usually have issue one still available and you had a relatively, you know, affordable price. Whereas like Marvel and DC, their issue ones, you know, back in the
60s.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's easy to enter into an indie series. You just have to find the one you like and jump in, right? And try it out. The problem, I think, is that we indies take longer to put out another issue. Mm. So like for me, like, you know, I'm on issue 7, but it's taken some time to get there, right? I have 12, you know, I'm trying to do this faster. I'm actually have been picking up steam. So usually I've done 2 Kickstarters a year for the last couple of years. I'm on par now to do 3 to 4 this year because this is already my second one and I still have, you know, 2 more quarters to go. So, you know, I think the ones who have been in it long enough can move faster. And, but like, I think that's part of the problem is that like people don't want to wait. They want to get it all at once and digest it. Whereas like Marvel and DC, like you jump in somewhere and then you get the next issue, the next month, the next issue, the next month, the next issue, the next month. But you know, it's kind of a trade-off too, because then like, well, you don't have the very, very beginning. So like you can't just jump into Spider-Man and know what happened the last 700-800 issues, you know, like you have to kind of like go back and find these, you know, big omnibuses and, you know, not even get like that, you know what I mean? Because you're still not getting all the information. So, but you know, for me, you can go to the Kickstarter now and get all 7 issues and get caught up on the series. And there's 12 issues in this story arc. So like you're over almost, you know, we're jumping into the second half of this story arc and, it's really starting to get going. So it's an exciting time to jump in and, you know, and there's a lot of indies out there who even do just like 4-part, you know, mini series. So you know, there's a lot of good content out there and you can digest it relatively quickly and easy. You know, but if you're at the beginning of one, it's kind of like, you know, when's the next one coming out? Is the next one coming out? But in my case, you know, like, yes, I've been fulfilling and I deliver and I continue going. So that's why my wolf pack is continuing to grow because they know, you know, that I can deliver. They know that the next issue will be out. And I try and, you know, share as much as I can along the way, you know, to keep them posted on what's coming out.
We have Captain B-Dub subscribing over on Twitch 55 months in a row. Thank you, B-Dub. Appreciate that as well. Everyone in the chat, if you guys have any questions for Rob, feel free to ask away. Right here is a link to the Kickstarter. We're going to be pulling that up, so feel free to pull it up with us. And like I said, if you can back, we would love to see it day after new comic book day. So treat yourself to issue 7. But if not, put this on Facebook and Twitter. Word of mouth is 100% free. So, Rob, did I ask you last time, were you a fan of wrestling like the Wolfpack? I remember, I forgot who it was, but I remember in wrestling there was a Wolfpack and they would do this. And I remember in school, we all would do that.
I think that was, they came along right after I stopped watching.
Which
is funny because, like, I think DX was when I was like, was the last time I watched, and then I moved.
Everybody in school, man.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, like, I moved out before the Wolfpack came in, but I've heard a lot about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think at that point I was in high school, and I was more interested in, chasing girls at that point.
Hey. And speaking of chasing girls, though, Nightwolf. That is an interesting story. We have our main character, Rodney, and what happens to his girlfriend? I mean, he's chasing a girl too, like literally almost, right?
Yeah, I mean, so basically, Lord Malice, who is the master vampire of the Dark Covenant, sees Rodney's girlfriend, Jennifer, and recognizes in her that she is potentially the reincarnation of his dead fiance. From before he was a vampire, which actually issue 7, you get this backstory. You get, you find out what happened, when it happened, and then how he became a vampire. And so that's going to be a nice thing. It's been kind of like one of those subplots that I've been stringing along this whole time. That's finally kind of going to get a little bit more of a deep dive into who Lord Malice is and why he is, you know, in power, where, you know, as the Dark Covenant's master vampire. And his little hidden power that Rodney is going to come to, I wouldn't say regret, but like he's definitely not going to be happy about when he has to go up against it.
We got a Izzy Versa NYC Comics over on YouTube. NWO Wolfpack. There it is. I knew it was something. I didn't want to mess it up, though, and then have everyone call me out. So, I mean, issue 6 left off pretty hot, too. We had Snowfall getting lured away by Black Claw, and Rodney's left alone fighting tons of feral vampire bats, werewolves, and FBI agents. What a team of just like all out warfare for Rodney to go through. I mean, it sounds like issue 6 was just action packed.
Oh, I mean, it was that's just it. Like I said, this half of the story arc is like, you know, before it was all set up, then the training montage. Now we're into it. We're in the thick of it. You know, we're going in, like the action's happening. We're going balls to the wall, and he's getting thrown in head first. You know, he had his time for training. Now it's time to go. You know, it's go time.
I think it's time to put the pedal to the metal and segue over to the Kickstarter and see what all the hype is about, and check out issue 7 as well, guys. So give me a sec. We are looking at a Nightwolf issue 1-7 urban fantasy werewolf coming of age drama. After discovering his werewolf lineage, a young man is reluctantly thrown into a supernatural war. Currently at $12,718 of a $10,000 goal. Dude, congratulations. Hitting goal, over $2,000, over goal, 329 backers, 14 days left to go. So, I mean, you're just like halfway through your campaign, smashing it. How are you feeling, man?
Feeling good. Very good. Yeah, we just unlocked our first stretch goal, which I, after we're done here, I need to probably go post that, right?
Congratulations on hitting the first stretch goal as well. Dude, 329 backers, 500 plushies. June is going to be a busy. You better get like a second pair of arms or something.
It's funny. Like I was talking about this on another podcast. Somebody's like, do you have help when you do fulfillment? And I'm like, I wish I did. The only help I have is that my sons, they stuff the bags and the boards for me. But that's about it. And like over, like the last time I was doing fulfillment for Snowpaw issue 2 back in February, my son was like, we were in the middle of watching Wednesday Addams, you know, the mm-hmm. Wednesday series on Netflix. And he's like, are we going to watch tonight? I'm like, do you see all the work I have to do right now? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you going to help me do this so I can come watch? And he's like, he just looked at me and walked away. You know, 14.
I thought you were about to say yes. I was going to be like, yeah.
No, I got left them. Everybody got to go watch TV, but not just that. You know, they didn't get to watch that. Because if they would have watched without me, I'd have been very upset.
So guys, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, yeah, fulfillments, my entire front room. It becomes an assembly line full of boxes and stuff. So
that's so awesome, though. It's cool. You can get the family to help with you. So right here, we have I love this too. We were talking backstage, the animated covers, the interior, so we get a chance to kind of just sit there and just watch instead of scrolling down. These covers are gorgeous. Who are some of the cover artists that you're working with?
So these are all the Carlos Herrera covers. Carlos is my illustrator for the interiors. And these are all his covers for 1 through 7.
These are gorgeous. So how do werewolves work in this world? Are they you know, deadly, you know, weak to silver in this? Or how did you create werewolves in your universe?
So werewolves basically have been around for, you know, for eons, and they are born that way. They're not turned.
Okay.
There is the black, like Black Claw and his, basically his breed, is able to curse others and make them their drone werewolves. It's kind of like a deity gift to them, for following a certain deity. And, but whereas like the rest of them, they can't turn others. They have different abilities, and some of those get revealed as time goes on. And they're all, like I said, they're born that way. Rodney is part of this outcast breed with Snowpaw and Blacklaw. The two breeds, so they're basically split into it. So there's the purebreds and there's the mongrels. Blacklaw being a mongrel and Snowpaw being a purebred. Rodney is kind of like a hybrid between the two, kind of like showing how, like, you know, the world isn't just black and white anymore. It's not just good and evil. There's a gray line. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of walking that path, if you will. And with, you know, the werewolves themselves, you know, they have, they do have an allergic reaction to silver. But it doesn't just kill them. Like, you know, you have to, so you can kill a werewolf by damaging the heart and damaging the brain permanently. So you can use any weapon to do that. It's the, you know, the whole, like, but the allergic to silver, like, say, let's say you use a regular knife and cut them, it heals, kind of like Wolverine's healing factor, right? Mm-hmm. If you use a silver knife, it takes longer to heal, like a normal knife to a normal person, and it's left scarred.
I like that. I like that a lot. So it's not like an instant kill. It kind of just makes the healing factor turn down way slower. I think that is a cool, like catch 22 with it. We have Red Dress Press. Always good to see your work, Rob. Yes, I love these interiors a ton. If I'm not mistaken, you're the writer, creator, and the letterer, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So who's your interior artist?
So Carlos Herrera, he's the interior illustrator, and Gat Melvin is my colorist.
Yeah, these interiors are just as gorgeous too. Seeing all the action in these previous issues, issue 7 is probably going to be chaotic.
It's definitely going to be insane, and we're going to see, like I said, we're going to see some new things happening. Rodney finally kind of gets his own armor. He doesn't just run around in tattered pants.
I really love a lot of these weapon designs too. Like, what influences did you draw from when creating some of these weapons?
So a lot of like what I wanted to, you know, because werewolves can't just go to the store and buy something, right? And these weapons are made from silver to be able to do more damage. So now a lot of the way I thought that they were going to be created would be something that like they would have to do in their own like ability, like their own smithing. So a lot of it came from they're using bones, they're using leather, they're using silver, any, you know, kind of metals that they can get their hands on. For example, like, you know, with Snowpaw being around for 200 years, over time, you know, if she's killing vampires, other werewolves or something, she's collecting stuff from them, you know, like, you know, whatever she can to survive, like, you know, mm-hmm. jewelry and stuff from them or whatever. Like, she's not stealing, you know, she doesn't have a job, but she's not stealing from, like, you know, regular people. She's basically taking from like these slings to be able to survive, as well as, like, you know, to fashion these weapons.
And I love that too, because what are they going to do? They're going to call the cops?
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. These villains with their hordes of cash, right? What are they going to do with them?
Man, this is awesome too, and I love this too. Wielding the sword and then a shotgun in the other hand, like that's brutal. We have J. Michael Miller saying the coloring is gorgeous as well. Yeah, dude, these interiors are phenomenal. And then here's a look at issue 7. Whew. So what are we seeing happening right here? What's going on in these interiors?
So this is like kind of right after issue 6. This is work in the continuation. Snowpaw kind of like comes back from her B being lured away. And she frees Rodney. Spoiler alert, sorry. Anybody who didn't read issue six. yeah, so at this point, they're in their safe house, still being attacked by this horde of vampires. And so they end up running to this storage locker, if you will, to where like all the weapons and armor and everything are. And she's like, all right, it's time to take it. You know, we're done being on the defensive. We're taking the offensive to them. Mm-hmm. So she had been, so the armor that she throw, basically, you can see in this next page here at the top, she throws him the armor set, and he's like, what, you know, what is this or whatever? And, you know, it's her mentor's old armor, and she has modified it a little bit more to be a little bit more protective for him since he's still young and mm-hmm. doesn't know, you know, how to fight as well. So she tells him to suit up and carry as many weapons from a storage locker as possible. while these vampires are basically, you're going to smoke them out because there's no way out of this basically storage closet, you know, without going through that door. So there, and you can see kind of behind Snowpaw in that one panel that there's boxes of TNT in there.
So with the vampires, are they able to turn people if they bite them? And if so, like, what happens when they bite a werewolf? Like, does that have any sort of repercussion or any special, like, ability that happens?
So, yes, the vampires are able to turn others in this. Different levels. So, like, higher up vampires can either, make you higher or just make you just one of those, like, feral bats. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, the Vampress Anne-Marie, the sticker you see there, she was turned recently, but she was given more of a higher vampire transformation rather than just a low level, you know, drone. So the higher ones are able to do such things, whereas like low levels just basically create more low level. And the vampire knights there are kind of like a mid-range, you know, they're not like high level in command, but they're more like, you know, fighting knights, kind of to serve in like an army, if you will. And the, you know, if they bite a vamp or if a vampire bites a werewolf, nothing happens to the werewolf. basically, and the vampire probably taste buds will scream because they'll think it's disgusting. They're more in for it. Like the blood to them is more, you know, like a wine, if you will. Mm-hmm, you either have this really low, you know, quality gunk coming from like other supernatural creatures, or you have a nice pure coming from like a human of, you know, some kind of purity, you know. Keeping it in that kind of a, you know, mm-hmm. a mindset.
We got a Red Dress Press. Ew, why would a vampire bite a werewolf? Probably would never get the taste of wet dog out of their mouth.
That's what I'm thinking
a werewolf is holding down a vampire. Vampire has the big gashing teeth. If you're held down, what are you going to do? That you're going to bite. I was like, hey, maybe something happens. I don't know. What if they have silver fangs, you know?
Like the one thing that like could happen is that, and this is what like what Anne Marie was trying to do to Rodney was more because it does do a little bit of like subduing, a slight subjugation, mm-hmm. but not like long term. So when she was trying to seduce him in issue six, it was more of a trying to subdue him and so that they could just take him without him transforming and fighting. So that is something that can happen just based on the higher vampire does have that ability. Whoever they bite is a temporary subjugation, you know, subduing them. But again, the taste isn't going to be something.
Yeah. We have Mama Geekly joining us over on Facebook saying that's hilarious. Hey, all I'm thinking, you know, maybe we'll see vampires with silver grills in issue eight. I don't know. So stretch goals. You said you just unlocked one.
Yeah. So the top that top one there, we unlocked, and I have to go ahead and reveal that. Change up that graphic.
So what are you unlocking at it? So
we're locking 6-inch standees, acrylic.
Oh,
standees.
Let's go. Do you have one next to you, or
I do not know. Okay. It's one of those things where like I order from a company and I have like mm-hmm. the image from it that I need to update it here.
Okay, cool. So guys, yeah, tune in. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say yeah. So it's one of them is like a Nightwolf standee, and the other is some of the Twin Witches, and you know some of the other cool monsters like Vampire Anne-Marie. There's a couple of them that will be showing up there.
So guys, be sure to tune in. I want to say later on today, hopefully that will be upgraded and then you could see the image and see what it looks like. Do you have any idea what the pose is going to be, or is that still yet to be determined?
I'll let that be a surprise for
one. Let's go. We have Mama Geekly, I Love Vampire and Werewolf Story. Mom, I think this is going to be the one that's right up your alleyway as well. And then let's scroll down and check out some of these rewards. A lot of love too from the community. The Wolf Pack is just loving this, man. I love seeing this as well. All these people just holding up their issues. This has to be such a validating feeling.
Oh, it is. It's, you know, meeting people at cons is great, and then seeing people sharing pictures from home is definitely, it's an awesome feeling, and I love it. And you know, the fact that people enjoy my stories, it keeps me going.
This is gorgeous. Also, how did things go with the you had issue 1-6 collective where it made one huge poster comic book. Right? How did that end up going for you?
Good. So there's 200 copies of each issue of that that connecting cover. So half of them went in the last campaign. So I have the other half available in this campaign.
Awesome. So guys, speaking of that, let's go ahead and check out these rewards. You can get the digital edition for $5. And then the print for 15, so outstanding price on that. We have this is a cover B.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So cover B for 20, and then cover C at 25. The digital catch-up at 26. Holy crap, that's an outstanding price.
That's right. And the volume 1 is issues 1-4, and it has 16 additional story pages plus cover art and pinup art, totaling 152 pages. So that first one there is 152 pages, and then you have the three following issues from there that you get to enjoy.
Awesome prices. The Lone Wolf Comics digital collection at 32. So man, you are giving some big bang for your buck here. We have this is a print edition right here, the Safe for Work cover at 40, and then the Not Safe for Cover work at 45, so just $5 more. The Retailer Night Wolf 7 A-Pack for 55, 20 copies of that at 69. Nice. You get the print catch-up standard covers, free shipping in the U.S. as well. 75, you get the print edition, both courtesy Rose covers. Mama Geekly, love the art. This is going to be awesome to read and look at. at 99, we have the print catch-up variant covers. And then 125, the Retailer Lone Wolf Comics Starter Kit. Man, you have some awesome pricing right here, too. A print collection, all issues, 7 covers at 165. And then is this like a special like sketch cover or?
It's a sketch cover. You could get that in the add-ons anytime. But yeah, that's an issue 7 sketch cover. So anybody who is a fan of sketch covers, you know, take that. Either you're an artist, do it up, or you know an artist. You know, they'll be able to do you a custom cover.
That's awesome. And then right here is that print catch-up exclusive variants at $199. So these all combine to make one big image. I think that I am a sucker for that type of thing. It is so cool. Like when you see everything kind of like, it makes you want to get the full collection because it's an awesome piece. Who is the artist on these issues?
That's also Carlos Herrera.
Okay, Carlos is just killing it. Holy crap.
And then Anvu is the artist for that issue 7 that's accompanying it.
And then at $225, the Good Value Night Wolf Mystery Box. So you get a special mystery signed CGC copy of Night Wolf. Do you know what issue it is, or is that the mystery part two?
That's part of the mystery. So the mystery is which issue and what grade. So like I have plenty of these bad boys here. So this is issue 1 as a 9.8.
Hold on one second, let me...
So there's a lot of these out there mixed in with a bunch of other issues, so...
That's how much does it cost to get it graded? It costs money to get it graded, right?
It does, yeah. Well, you have to pay them plus the shipping. Yeah. But, you know, so it is a bit costly. You know, that's why they're not exactly they're not cheap to do.
So you guys are getting, it sounds like you guys are getting a big bang for your buck with this as well. I mean, I was thinking it cost a pretty penny to get them graded, let alone like you're getting the book and this mystery box. I mean, this box looks awesome too.
Thank you. Yeah, that's part of the you know, the appeal. It's a nice collector's box. You can, you know, if you don't want to keep the comics in it, you can put other things in it. It's a cool box. It's bigger than, you know, so it's enough. That one is particularly, actually, you know what, I have one over here. Let me show you.
And then for everyone watching right here is the link once again. Be sure to check this out with us. And if you're unable to back, just tell a friend. Let a friend know about it. I'm sure you're going to have someone who is going to love this story. So let's go ahead and check out this box real quick.
Yeah, the box. So this is actually the Snowpaw box. The other boxes are apparently in somewhere else, but this is like the same exact size. So this is the size box that you're getting.
I'm so jealous, too. That's nice. It looks like it's nice cardboard, like sturdy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then the mystery, the Long Wolf Comics one is even bigger. It's an even bigger box.
Wow, that graphic on the front's gorgeous. Man, I would not know what to do being surrounded by so much cool merch. I am so jealous right now, Rob. We have at $249 the print catch-up safer work virgin variants, and then the not safer work virgin variants at $275. So I'm loving how like close these prices are too. You're not like going above and beyond. Like you're keeping it like just a few bucks more for every tier.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I do is, you know, with the variants, like the limited editions, I limit the, so I have the retail, you know, a couple thousand copies, and then I limit the variants at like 600, 500, 300, or 400, 300, 200, 150. And then like, as you know, they go up in price, $5 each limiting. And then I, you know, when you're putting them all together in like one of these catch up tiers, you know, that just all adds up nicely and it works out for doing a nice, step up tier.
Jealous of the Lego guy as well. Oh my God. Look at these tiers are outrageous. Yeah, and guys,
so another thing that I didn't show with that, he also comes with a hood. He's got, you know,
I'm going to need your Lego plug. We need to get a keeping a geekly Lego guy made up. And then, ASAP. Yeah,
that he has on in the issue one.
That's so cool. That's awesome. And then we have the mother of all mother tiers right here at $999, the personal art commission by Carlos. And then, shoo, look at all that.
And you get all of the stuff.
How many pages would you guess is right here?
Oh, God. So let's say 24 times 58. I want to say there's 58 there. It's either 58 or 60.
There's 58 comics there.
Yeah, that's all of the variant covers, all the sketch covers, for 1 through 7 and Snowfall 1 and 2.
Man, no wonder why you need a storage for your comics. You're saying that earlier, and I'm like, okay, but yeah, I could see it now. Like, especially if you have like 100 of each. Like, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, the boxes are like I used to have them behind me before Snowfall issue 2 came in, mm-hmm. and it was like I literally had like a Game of Thrones throne of boxes behind me, and it was like, all right, I need to move this stuff out of here before the next stack of boxes come in. So that's when I got the storage unit and had the printer deliver those issue twos there.
Oh, you got limited mini figures too. That is so cool. I'm jealous of the Lego guys. Oh my God. And then the plushie guys, get in while you can. How many do you think you're gonna have left after fulfillment?
I'll probably have between like 300 and 400 left from the last campaign, and then I plan to have more so that like, yeah, I can put them with the kids board book that this is going to basically show the origin story that Megan Alford and I have put together for it.
Which we are going to talk about that in just a few seconds. I kind of just wanted to scroll through the rest of this just to let everyone else check it out. We have some original artwork right here as well. I'm loving these interiors. These pencils are gorgeous. Week 2 Vanishing Add-ons too.
Yeah, so the Vanishing Add-ons. So every week at Wednesday at noon, new add-ons come in, and the ones from the week before disappear.
That is smart. I've never seen that or heard that. This is my 361st interview. I've never heard of people doing this. This is my first time
trying it out, so we're seeing how it goes. We had other ones this past week, and then yesterday these ones showed up. So this is very limited time. You won't see these again after this week is over.
That's what inspired that. That is such a cool idea, Rob.
I've heard of one other person doing it with comic covers. Mm-hmm. But I wanted all my comic covers to be available at all times. So I gotta
get these out of storage.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What am I gonna do if they don't all go? Right. So I actually the company I work for does these tin signs and wall art, and as an employee discount part of that, I can order one offs. So I was like, that's something I can do. I was like, I can, you know, even if I sell only one of them, it's not, I don't have to have a minimum, right? Mm-hmm. So that was like where I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do those for, you know, and have some kind of like high-end art, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of like where that went. And then I never have offered 11 by 17 prints before. So I thought that would be a cool thing to do. Very limited time, mm-hmm. You know, because shipping 11 by 17s aren't as easy as, you know, shipping, you know, comic book size.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. So these are very rare and this is the time to jump in on.
That's so awesome. So after going through the Kickstarter, Rob, what would you like to say to anyone who might be on the fence about backing? If you just had a few moments to kind of reach out to them and convince them otherwise, what would you say to them?
Yeah. Hey, so if you want to give the series a try, but are afraid to jump in, you can go to lonewolfcomics.com/offer. You can sign up for the email list and you will get the first issue for free, as well as Snowpaw issue 1, the first 9 pages as a preview. Then that way you can see what the writing, the style, art, you know, and leave you wanting more, because there's a cliffhanger, spoiler alert. But yeah, and if you like it, if you digest it that quickly, I mean, we're gonna be live for another 14 days. Mm-hmm. You know, then you can come and grab you know, all 7 issues,
and you get that email sent out ASAP. Right there is the link in all the chats, guys. It's free to sign up. You get special news alerts about this series, so I mean, you have nothing to lose, and you get that comic for free. You get it super fast, you get a chance to read it, and then you have 2 weeks to back the campaign if you love what you see. That digital catch-up is a remarkable price, too, so, and we love to see it. So you said you have a special story coming out with that plushie. Give us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's called Wolfpack Pups, and it's kind of like a Muppet baby-eyed version of
I love it.
It's a Halloween special, and it basically what it is you know, Nightwolf and Snowpaw, as these kids go trick-or-treating, because, you know, Halloween, they get to go out as themselves, as werewolves. And, so, you know, the twin witches also make an appearance and cause trouble. And that's where this voodoo doll comes into play.
I love it. It sounds like you're able to have a little bit more fun with the series in this one.
It is. Yeah. And it's something like, you know, I originally wrote like Snowpaw as something that my daughter could get into when she gets into comics, as a strong female character, you know, for Snowpaw. For her.
I love that so much, man. As a father of a girl, man, that's awesome.
But the problem is that she's still 5. So she still can't enjoy it.
She can't read the blood. I get it.
Yeah. So she can't read it yet. So I was like, all right, well, she loves these board books. And she, you know, we really got into the Sias for Cthulhu series by Comics Tribe. And she loves the Cthulhu plushie. She loves the board books. So I was like, all right, well, why don't we do, you know, we're already working on the plushie. Why not do a book that coincides with it? And just, you know, do a kid's line and see what happens. And,
you know, I don't know what it is about Cthulhu. My kid, she started dabbling into comics, but we got Cthulhu Jr. and Friends, I think, by Dirk Manning. And she loved it. She read it 5 times sitting down. I'm like, there's something about Cthulhu that people just eat up, man.
They do. They really do. It's funny because, like, I really didn't know much about, like, any Lovecraftian, you know, books or, like, Cthulhu until, like, I watched South Park. And that one's the point. That was the first time I ever heard of Cthulhu, was in that South Park episode.
So, Rob, man, what's next for you in 2023? I mean, I know you're going to be working on that plushie series, but is there any other projects you're working on? Maybe issue 8 for Nightwolf? Like, what can we expect from you?
Yeah, so besides the kids' board book, which is in the production now, we're also got issue 3 of Snowpaw going to be in the works, and issue 8 of Nightwolf already. So basically between those 3 projects, whatever comes first is the next one that's coming out on Kickstarter.
That's awesome.
Like I said earlier, I'm planning on doing a quarterly Kickstarter. So we're going to try and do 4 this year, and whatever one comes first, and the next one comes after.
We got Matt Rogers, yo, loving that art. I think that art is gorgeous, but you better watch out. I'm going to hit you with the copyright. You keep using that yo like that. So, Rob, you've been on the show before. You know, we like to end the show on a strong note, and that's asking you for a little bit of advice. So for anyone looking to maybe get a little bit more from their series, maybe to try to work in a second character that they can use that character as a spinoff as well, you know, kind of like what you did with Snowpaw. Like, what would be your advice to kind of build up a character like that to be able to do it?
Definitely start off with somebody who has a strong personality, or, you know, give them a strong personality. You want to make sure that they have a unique character design, unique traits, you know, something that, you know, that you think, or, you know, even ask your audience or ask your friends, you know, or what do you see in a character that you like, and put those things into this character so that whenever you put them on the page with your main character, the spotlight starts being fought for. And then if you know that people are like, I love this character more than they say they love your other character, you know, you got something that you need to take out of there and go, okay, spinoff series.
Yeah. And you know, the, what you're able to do with that going forward too, you know, you're able to bring that character back, intertwine them even more and make a, even a possibly even more impactful story going forward. You know, having been able to build that story up in a spinoff. So awesome. Hey, what are you consuming outside of creating? You know, this is something new. I think we had you on, what, a 281? So 26, almost 100 interviews later, we started up ending, like, talking about, like, what are you reading? What are you watching? If you play games, what are you gaming on, man?
Yeah, so I'm actually, I can't wait for the new Zelda game come out.
Oh yeah, that's close.
Okay, yeah, so I've been going back and just playing Breath of the Wild again. I just finished that up for like the third time, and then I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima here and there.
Beautiful game. Beautiful. Oh my god.
I also enjoy The Witcher 3, which I've had for years, but I'm going through my second round of that. Just all in my spare time, whenever like I don't have time to work on stuff or I'm just too dead tired, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Comic wise, I'm digesting more indies. As you said, I backed a ton of Kickstarter, so I'm digesting things like White Ash, Tart, which Tart is live, by the way, and anything you know, that a lot of my creator friends have been putting out. And we just you know, I've been enjoying the indie stuff. And so that's, you know, a lot of stuff that's on Kickstarter now. There's a lot of good stuff happening. And the movies, I don't get out to the movies as much as I like to, but we did go see Mario Brothers with the kids.
Do they love it?
Oh my God. The
my
whole
kids
family
loved it too.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah, we loved it. And you know, it kills me. Like, there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, well, the story isn't that great. I'm like, it's a kid's movie for kids, based on a kid's video game. Did you expect it to be mind-blowing?
It's like, you're 30, 40, like, chill.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy it for what it is, just like you enjoyed the game for what it was. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's movie-wise. TV series, I've been watching... we just finished up Wednesday. We're watching The Mandalorian. You know, a lot of the stuff that's currently been streaming.
So did you beat Ghost of Tsushima?
I have not yet. No.
Okay.
All right. I barely get time to play, so like when I do, I jump in when I can. The Switch is nice and handheld, so like if somebody else is watching the TV, again, I have like four other people that I have to compete with the TV, so I can't get on the PlayStation and play as much as I like. So that's why I think I beat Breath of the Wild three times, because,
man, I've been playing what is it,
and I can just hold it in my lap, you know.
Final Fantasy VI, they just did the pixel remaster, so I've been playing Final Fantasy VI on the Switch, and I love it so much.
That's another game I'm in the middle of, is Final Fantasy VII, the remake, and again, because I can't get into the PlayStation.
we actually have some hype over on Twitch, too. The Alakazam King Lovecraftian stuff is amazing. I agree with that as well. And then Bart Raccoon, sorry, my Twitch is French, and I don't know how to switch it to English. Not a problem, Bart. You guys are catching us right at the end. Everyone, it is time for us to wrap up. If you guys missed this, you can catch the replay on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter at Keeping It Geekly. That being said, it is time for us to leave. Hey, Rob, I appreciate you swinging in and hyping it up. We're going to have to get you on for issue 8, Snowpaw issue 3, and that board, the board comic as well. That sounds like all awesome stories to cover. Everyone watching, stay tuned and sign up for that newsletter to get a free issue of Nightwolf issue 1. We're going to be wrapping up, so I hope you all have a good one. With that being said, take it easy and keep it geekly.